Waikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, curious minds. Today we're embarking on a deep dive into the profound and surprisingly modern thoughts of a 17th century genius, Blaise Pascal.
That's right, and specifically his unfinished masterpiece, Pensée.
We've gathered insights from several, well, fascinating sources exploring his pretty radical ideas on human nature, faith.
Yeah, and how he really challenged the thinkers of his time. He wasn't afraid to go against the grain.
Pascal was truly an extraordinary mind, wasn't he? A polymath, mathematician, physicist, inventor, philosopher.
All of the above.
But what's particularly compelling, I think, is how he channeled that formidable intellect, you know, the one honed by scientific rigor,
right,
towards the deepest, most existential questions of human existence and belief. He wasn't just observing the world, he was questioning its very foundations.
So our mission for you today is to extract the most impactful nuggets from Pascal's Pensée.
Yeah, to give you a clear understanding of this remarkable work. And why its insights are still so incredibly relevant, you know, centuries later. Think of it as a shortcut to grasping why this text still resonates. Okay, let's unpack who exactly Blaise Pascal was. When we say genius here, we're not using it lightly.
No, definitely not.
We're talking about someone who, by age 12, had independently mastered Euclid's geometry, which is just wow.
Right. And by 19, he invented one of the first mechanical calculators.
Amazing. A pioneer in probability theory, hydrostatics. He even helped lay the groundwork for integral calculus.
His mind was truly astounding. Equally comfortable with, you know, abstract scientific principles and concrete engineering.
So what makes him uniquely suited to write something like Pensée? It's not just the science, is it?
No, it's really the synthesis of that reason with a profound personal transformation. We often talk about his Night of Fire in 1654.
Ah, yes, the mystical experience.
Exactly. Not just a quiet revelation. It was an intense, several-hour-long experience he meticulously documented. He felt this direct encounter with God.
And that shifted things for him.
Profoundly. His intellectual focus changed. It wasn't a rejection of reason, though. That's mm-hmm. key. It was more a realization of its limits.
Okay.
He moved from l'esprit de géométrie, that precise, logical mind.
Scientific mind.
Right. To l'esprit de finesse, which we can understand as the intuitive mind or the heart. He was trying to integrate them.
Science and faith, not separate boxes.
Exactly. And his later involvement with the Jansenists, a Catholic movement, emphasizing, well, humanity's fallen nature and the need for grace.
Mm.
That really deepened his understanding of human sinfulness and our need for redemption. It informed his whole perspective on our limitations.
So he's got this incredible scientific background, this spiritual awakening, this philosophical lens. What's the core message in Pensée then?
Well, here's where it gets really interesting.
Mm.
The central idea revolves around what he saw as the fundamental paradox of being human.
Okay.
Our simultaneous greatness and wretchedness. We can think noble thoughts, achieve amazing things.
We're also capable of awful behavior, and we suffer and we die.
Precisely. It's this inherent contradiction within us. And Pascal argued that this creates a deep, unsettling existential anxiety.
An anxiety that pure reason can't fix.
Exactly. Reason alone just can't resolve it. Connecting this to the bigger picture, Pascal believed that only Christian faith could offer a truly coherent explanation for these contradictions.
So it's not just comfort, it's an explanation.
Yes. A profound diagnosis. Why can we be both noble and base? Why do we search for happiness but rarely find lasting satisfaction? Why are we aware of death but long for the infinite?
Mm.
He saw Christianity as the only framework that made sense of it all, appealing to both the intellect and, well, the heart. It addresses that unfulfilled feeling if we ignore these tensions.
Okay, so he dives into some powerful themes then. Let's start with how he describes them. Man is but a reed, the most feeble thing in nature, but he is a thinking reed. It's so poetic, yet precise.
It really is. It captures our physical vulnerability, how easily broken we are against the immense power of our conscious thought.
So what does this thinking reed do with that awareness? Its fragility, its mortality.
Well, this leads to his concept of diversion or divertissement.
Right. The idea that we can't just sit still.
Exactly. He famously said, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone.
That hits close to home today, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He saw our constant need for activity gambling, career ambition in his day, maybe social media scrolling or constant busyness in ours.
Yeah.
As a sophisticated, sometimes unconscious form of denial.
Mm.
A way to avoid confronting our inner void, our mortality, those big uncomfortable questions.
Like grabbing our phones the second things get quiet.
Precisely. That's a modern divertissement, a brilliant maybe, but ultimately futile strategy to escape ourselves. It's a stunning psychological insight, still so relevant.
So if reason has limits and diversion is just escape, what's left? Pascal, the mathematician, says, the heart has its reasons that reason does not know.
Hmm.
That sounds almost anti-reason, but you said earlier that's not quite it.
No, it's a crucial distinction. He differentiates between the geometrical mind, logical, analytical.
Step by step.
Right. And the intuitive mind, or heart. He's not pushing irrationality at all. He's saying some fundamental truths about space, time, morality, love, even basic axioms we just accept.
We know them intuitively.
Yes, through a direct grasp by the heart, not through logical proof. This knowledge of the heart complements reason. It doesn't contradict it.
Okay.
Especially in faith, the heart can grasp truths logic can't fully capture. It shows reason's genuine power, but also its limits. Our deepest beliefs are often felt, you know.
Yeah, makes sense. Which brings us to arguably his most famous idea, Pascal's wager.
Ah, the wager always sparks debate.
It's such an ingenious approach, almost like philosophical game theory.
It really is. If we step back, it's one of the first uses of decision theory for existential questions.
Mm.
Pascal isn't trying to prove God exists.
Okay, so what is he doing?
He's talking to the agnostic, the undecided. He says,
mm-hmm.
Look, you can't be sure either way. So what's the most rational choice when the stakes are potentially infinite?
He frames it like a bet.
Exactly. Option one, believe in God. Option two, don't believe. If you believe and God exists, infinite gain, eternal life.
Right.
If you don't believe and God exists,
yeah.
Infinite loss, eternal damnation, in his view.
Oof. High stakes.
Very. But if God doesn't exist, then the gains and losses of believing or not believing are finite, relatively minor in the grand scheme.
So the calculation?
Is that the potential infinite gain of belief outweighs any finite cost, mm-hmm. like giving up some worldly pleasures. So faith becomes a rationally defensible bet.
And he says you have to bet.
Yes. You must wager. It is not optional. Even deciding not to decide or delaying is effectively a wager against God.
I see the logic, that calculation,
yeah.
But people object, right? That you can't just decide to believe like placing a bet. Faith needs sincerity.
A very common and important point. Pascal anticipated it.
Yeah.
He wasn't suggesting a cold, insincere calculation.
So what was his answer?
He suggested that by acting as if you believe, going through the motions, taking part in rituals, joining the community, taking the holy water, as he put it.
Fake it till you make it.
Sort of, but more like these actions could genuinely soften the heart and open it to real faith over time. Use habit to cultivate belief. It wasn't about pretending forever, but about opening the door.
Interesting nuance, but okay. Even so, if God exists and the stakes are infinite, why isn't it just obvious? Why all the doubt?
Ah, that leads to his idea of the hidden God, Deus absconditus.
God is hidden. Deliberately.
That's Pascal's argument. He famously said there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't.
Why would God do that?
His reasoning is profound. If God's existence was mathematically provable, like 2 plus 2 v 4, it would compel belief. It would remove free will.
Ah, so faith wouldn't be a free choice.
Exactly. Love and faith wouldn't be authentic. This hiddenness preserves the integrity of faith. It's a test of the heart's disposition, allowing for a genuine seeking, a freely chosen commitment.
Not just Cole's calculation, then.
Right. It ensures faith remains a matter of the heart's longing, too.
So let's bring this forward. What does all this mean for you, our listener, today, in our, you know, hyper-connected, distracted 21st century lives?
It feels like Pascal saw it coming, doesn't it?
It really does. That idea of diversion.
It's incredibly potent for understanding things like social media addiction, constant busyness, even binge watching. He helps us see our own avoidance patterns.
And maybe try to actually sit quietly in a room alone sometimes.
Exactly. Find moments for quiet reflection. And the wager, even if you take out the specific theology,
yeah,
it gives a powerful framework for making big decisions under uncertainty. Career changes, relationship commitments, situations where you don't have all the facts, but the potential upside is huge.
Weighing potential gains against finite costs. That's practical.
Very practical.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages smart risk assessment And it also fosters intellectual humility, reminding us to balance logic with intuition, the reasons of the heart.
That's incredibly powerful. It is striking how modern that diversion idea feels. I mean, I know I've felt like that thinking read, just needing to fill silence.
And doesn't it make you examine your own habits? The things you reach for to avoid stillness? Pascal's genius is spotting these fundamental human tendencies that just don't change, technology or not.
So his insights apply everywhere, really. Career, relationships.
Yeah, recognizing that life's deepest questions often need a leap of faith, or at least a conscious choice, without absolute certainty.
Blaise Pascal's pensée. It really isn't just some old book of fragments. It feels more like a mirror.
A mirror reflecting that enduring paradox of being human.
Yeah.
What surprised you most about how relevant it still feels?
For me, it's probably that diversion idea. Just how clearly he diagnosed something that feels so specific to our time, with constant notifications and infinite scrolling.
For me, I think it's how he shows that maybe the highest achievement of our reason is recognizing its own limits.
Okay.
And by doing that, we open ourselves to other kinds of truth. Truths that go beyond logic, but don't necessarily contradict it.
So science and faith don't have to be enemies.
Not in his view. He offers this compelling vision where you can honor both your intellect and your deepest spiritual longings. They address different vital parts of us.
So as you, our listener, navigate your own quest for meaning, for understanding, maybe consider Pascal's challenge.
What are you distracting yourself from?
And what might you gain if you dare to sit quietly with those profound questions? Those questions that really define what it means to be human. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.